Hey there, nursing community. Welcome back to another episode from Two Male Nurses.
It's Two Male Nurses.
This is a really special episode. This is actually our ninth episode that we have made, and we, this week, just hit over 1,000 plays from you guys. And we're just like really humbled by it because we really didn't think that people would be that interested in this. But we're just going to continue to keep on making these podcasts. And I really hope that you guys enjoy it and can keep on learning. Today, we're going to be talking about hyperkalemia.
Yeah, just potassium. We're talking all things potassium.
All things potassium. Yep. What causes it? How we treat it? Why we treat it? How it works when we treat it?
Why is it dangerous?
Why is it dangerous? All these things. And you're going to learn about it right now. Hey there, welcome back. We actually, before we get started, have one thing that we need to say.
Yeah, just saying thank you. A lot of the stuff we're going to share today, it was shown and taught to us by a gentleman. His name is Dr. Brett Clay. He's an instructor, a professor down in MTSA down in Tennessee. This is all his material. When he showed it to us, it was just so fascinating that we wanted to share it with, we wanted to tell everybody.
Right.
And so we actually just hit him up, and he was very gracious in allowing us to share this with you guys. It's just all just such interesting stuff. Thank you to Brett Clay, Professor Brett. He is
one bad man.
Yeah.
I mean, but a really good teacher.
Oh, he's so smart. He knows everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Just a big thank you to him for allowing us to kind of talk about this stuff that he showed us.
Yeah, we're definitely really blessed to be learning from him. He's really good. Okay. So one other thing that we wanted to mention, that this is purely educational. Obviously, as a nursing practice, we're not going to be prescribing these medications, but I think it's really important for us to be able to understand how these medications are working and why it's important and everything. So just take that, with what we say. Sometimes we stutter or misspeak and stuff. So just remember that this is a purely an educational podcast. We really hope that you guys enjoy. So we're going to jump right into four things that are going to take you back to AMP class in nursing school, okay? But they're foundational in understanding how hyperkalemia is and how we treat it,
right?
Okay? So the first thing that we're gonna mention is the concentration gradients of potassium, okay? Everybody knows what the normal potassium level is on a patient, right? We're talking 3.5 to 5, so around 4, right? However, We learned that there's not just that potassium level, there's another potassium level, and that is the intracellular potassium level.
So the 3.5 to 5 is extracellular potassium.
Outside.
That's outside the cell. Extracellular. Yeah. So that's the number you're looking at. That is not the number of potassium that's actually inside every little cell.
Right. And we realize these things when, for example, in someone who has a crush injury, or they say a lysis of RBCs and stuff, that potassium levels rise. And it's like, well, why? Because there's a high concentration of potassium inside the cell. And that's around 150 milliequivalents per whatever deciliter, whatever, that right. measurement is. So 4 on the outside, 150 on the inside
of the cell, right? And you remember that you TNCC, they talk, or you give an MTP and we're given all these blood products, you just got to watch out for hyperkalemia, and it's why that's the bank blood has high hyperkalemia. Well, it has more to do with the lysis of the blood cells,
right?
The blood cells themselves are very, very hyperkalemic, and they have that big high number inside the cells, with not as much in the extracellular compartment. So just kind of knowing that potassium, or the potassium, is just really heavy inside the cell.
Really important concept.
So the second thing is how potassium is always shifting from inside the cell to outside the cell. So there's these constant little, they're called channels, but they're basically just like holes in the cell where potassium is going in and out, back and forth. So, and just remembering that we know about osmolarity of a patient and how water will follow anything with a higher concentration and general stuff like that from chemistry and AMP and that kind of thing. But just knowing that if there's a higher concentration of a substance on one side of a line and versus the other, that substance, it kind of wants to equilibrate. So if there's a higher concentration on one side and lower concentration on another, it kind of wants to equilibrate. It wants to kind of make itself to this even gradient of electrical charges. Right. And keeping in mind, again, potassium is a positive charge, K plus. Sweet.
Good. Okay. So with those potassium leak channels that we were mentioning, which way does the potassium through those channels go? Like, which way does it go with the gradient?
Sure. So the two channels that we're going to talk about, there's a potassium leak channel. And when we say leak, that's all it's doing. It's just constantly leaking. Now, so we know there's more potassium on the inside than the outside of the cell. So that leak channel, the potassium is going to leak out, okay, because it's kind of trying to stay even, okay? There's 150 on the inside, there's 4 on the outside. It's going to leak out, just trying to keep that just a little more even. It's just leaking out potassium, okay? Another way that it kind of equilibrates is the sodium-potassium pump. And you remember this from anatomy and physiology? We're just going to kind of touch on it, but it's constantly pumping 3 sodium out, 2 potassium in. Right. 3 sodium out, 2 potassium in. And so that's just another way, not necessarily, it's just a way that the cell is just maintaining that balance. So there's stuff leaking out, there's stuff pumping in, and it's all just kind of keeping an equilibrium in your body.
Right. And so we mentioned with those potassium leak channels, you know, stuff is going out with its gradient into the extracellular, right? And this sodium potassium pump is actually one that requires energy, you know, those ATP using pumps, and is pumping potassium back into the cell against its gradient. So that's just how it's, you know, maintaining it. And the last concept that we need to understand, this is actually really foundational for hyperkalemia and how we treat it, is action potentials. So to understand an action potential, just remember, it's like an electrical impulse that stimulates something, right. I guess you can say, okay?
And you can think about it like an upside down V. So it just goes up and then it goes down in a V shape, an upside down V shape.
Right. That's what you're going to get into your head. Okay. So there's two parts of that you have to understand. We're not going to get into all the nitty gritties of like the absolute refractories and all that right now. Well, we might touch on this. Okay.
We'll touch on it.
But we're going to talk about resting membrane potential. Okay. And that is the charge of the cell when it's at rest. Okay. And about our threshold potential, which is basically when that resting membrane potential gets stimulated enough or gets enough, you know, positive ions in and raises resting threshold up enough to hit, resting potential up to threshold potential, then that is when the action potential will take off. And that's when you have that, you know, rapid, or, you know, the depolarization, repolarization, and you're back. Okay. Right. So that is the basics of an action potential.
It'll help if you look up a picture of an action potential, but basically that upside down V, the depolarization is the line on the left going up, and then, or you can just the regular letter A without the crossbar, but you're going up with the depolarization, back down with the repolarization.
Right.
Now the bottom left corner of that A or that upside down V, that is your threshold potential. And that is, you can think about that as a line of where you will have that action potential start. Okay, there's just a straight line there. Mm-hmm. Now below that is another line of your resting, and that's where your cell is just kind of hangs out. That's the number where it hangs out. So if you can get that bottom line, the very, very bottom line, which is your resting, up to a spot where it hits your threshold, which is the bottom of that upside down V, that's where you have an action potential. And this is done through stimulus and impulses and the electrical gradient, basically, of the cell.
Mm-hmm. Has to do with the charge of the cell. Really kind of like complicated concepts. We wanted to just brush on those so you can understand when we're talking about these different treatments, okay? If you need further, you know, information on that to understand, you know, just do a little research, check them out.
Hit us up on the email, too, talk about it.
Yep. So we're just going to jump into what are some causes of hyperkalemia. We already alluded to one of them, but what are some other ones that can cause a high potassium level?
Yeah, too many nanners. No, just kidding.
Too many nanas.
Yeah. Oh, don't eat those bananas. Usually, diet doesn't cause this kind of thing. It's usually more serious. You got your chronic kidney disease. You got your DKA type patients. ACE inhibitors can cause it. Right. We talked about the crush injuries, and then also metabolic acidosis. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Andrew, jump in the metabolic acidosis about why acidosis itself can cause this.
Okay. So when your body is super acidic, there is an ion called hydrogen. Okay. It's a positively charged ion that has acidic property to it, I guess is the best way to say it. Okay. So when you're very, you know, acidotic, your body is just like, okay, what can we, where can we put these hydrogen ions, these ones that are making us more acidotic anyways? Hey, let's just throw them into the cell. Okay, put them into the cell, then they're not affecting this extracellular, acidosis as much. And when this is happening, there is a swap. You know, it's like, okay, if you're coming in there, something has to come out. Okay, so hydrogen ions are going in, and then potassium is coming out. Two positively charged ions here. And it's really interesting because, you know, when someone is in those very severe cases of acidosis, their potassium will rise in like correlation with how acidotic it is. I didn't look up the specifics. So basically, like for every like half a point in pH drop, it increases in like potassium of like 0.5 or something around those numbers.
Exactly. And yeah. So you see these hyperkalemic patients or an acidotic patient, you just keep in the back of your mind like, oh, their K is probably off. It's probably a little high. It's and it's not, they don't necessarily have CKD. They don't necessarily have, they're not necessarily diabetic. They might be
eating a couple extra nanners.
Too many nanners, but they might just be acidotic.
Right. We correct that acidosis, we might actually just correct their hyperkalemia. They'll respond to their pressors. It's just, it's a happy time there with all that. So those are some really common causes. And we mentioned, the crush injuries because of the lysis that happens and more potassium leaking out. Okay. What are some signs of hyperkalemia? We're going to jump into just some EKG signs. There's other, random, ones that
aren't. There's just, tons of signs, but just as nurses, again, cool stuff to know. It's just some general stuff you're going to see on the monitor. You're going to see a prolonged PR. You're going to see a widened QRS, and you're going to see tall peak Ts. Now, we're going to try to explain each one of those, but again, those are just, you got the prolonged PR interval, your QRS, your QRS interval is going to be wide, it's going to be widened, and it's just going to keep getting wider and wider and wider the higher potassium goes up.
Right.
And it might even invert and other stuff, but yeah.
And lose the P waves, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But definitely one that, as nurses, they're like, oh, they got the peak T waves. I wonder what their potassium is. You're looking at the monitor and you can see it from across the unit, like, oh, I bet their potassium's high. You look at it, oh, yeah, it's 6.5, or whatever. Yeah, So definitely is a very common one that you definitely will see in practice. So we're just going to jump into, why is it bad?
Why is hyperkalemia bad? Yeah, hyper and hypo are both bad. Today we're talking about hyperkalemia. You're going to have an increase. It basically, the higher it is, it's just going to keep lengthening everything out, almost like pulling the ribbon flatter and flatter until you go into a V-fib and then you go asystole.
Right. So it's bad because it stops your heart.
It stops your heart. Yeah. And it's, what's that? It's the medication I think they give for
lethal injections. Death, stuff. Yeah. So, and why we don't give potassium boluses. We have to give it over a couple hours.
Right. And they talk, potassium is super cardiotoxic. And cardio. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the positive charges and the action potential. And
all those action potentials. Yeah. Very, very, very interesting. So we're just going to go ahead and top into some, we call them band-aid treatments. Okay. So these are.
Before we do that, let's just talk about what happened. Like why does potassium kind of do this stuff? So just think in your heads, and you can look at the action potential picture during this, if you, it would help a lot. But basically, if you're thinking about potassium outside the cell, potassium inside the cell. So the patient's already acidotic. The patient has CKD. The patient has whatever they have, and whatever they have that's causing hyperkalemia. So your normal potassium is 4. Intracellular, your normal potassium is 150. You got your sodium potassium pump. You got your leak channels, and the leak channels is leaking out. We talked about how it wants to equilibrate. Okay, so if the gradient is 4 and 150, it's going to leak out at a nice constant speed. Let's say, okay, you're acidotic, diabetic, whatever, and your potassium is now 7. Well, that changes the gradient, right? So now your potassium isn't going to leak out as fast. It's going to kind of just stay in the cell.
Dramatic gradient.
Right. I'm not at 4. I don't need to leak out this fast. I'm going to leak out slower. I don't need to do anything too crazy, and it keeps the potassium in the cell.
Mm-hmm.
So now we didn't say this before, but we'll use a general number for your cellular, your resting. We talked about the resting. That's the line below threshold. So you have your threshold at the bottom of V, then you have resting. Your normal, an average resting, a good just like resting cell membrane potential, we're going to use negative 90. And that's a charge. And that is just, it's we're saying.
Really a voltage charge, like negative 90 millivolts.
Right, yeah. Negative 90 inside the cell. And that's, again, that's just a combination of all the different things inside the cell that equal negative 90. So if your normal cell constantly leaking and leaking is at negative 90 normally, well, now we have our gradients thrown off. Potassium isn't leaving the cell like it should. What is potassium? It's positive. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the charge of your cell isn't negative 90. Now it's negative 60.
Right.
Because you've changed that. It's not so negative because you have more positive charges, more potassiums in the cell. So we're using negative 90 as our cell. Let's say our threshold is negative 50 or 60. Okay, and so before we were at negative 90 in the cell, now our potassium is staying in, so we're now at negative, let's say 60 or whatever, but now that distance between the resting and the threshold is closer.
Right.
So usually we're at negative 90, negative 60, and we have that nice balance, that nice amount before we have an action potential. But now it's closer. We don't have any balance there. It's right on top of each other. Your resting and your threshold is right on top of each other. Okay. And that is going to change the way, again, a little bit, we would have to talk more about like sodium channels and all kinds of stuff about the action potential, but basically it's going to change the way you have depolarization and repolarization in the cell.
Yeah. And this is
and
like
action potential.
Yeah, and this is like, you know, kind of hard to understand, like over just talking and everything. That's what we're going to be talking about with these Band-Aid treatments here, okay? So the first one, and these are ones that are just like either displacing the potassium, okay, or in this case, what we're going to be talking about, one that is like is cardioprotective, they always say. Okay, so the first one we're going to be talking about is calcium gluconate or chloride, and how this is a almost first line Band-Aid treatment.
We always talk about it.
Yeah,
calcium. Oh, it's calcium cardioprotective. Oh yeah, we got to get the calcium.
Cardioprotective.
Oh, who's got calcium?
Yeah. Oh, sweet. So it's like I literally just imagine like calcium's hands around the heart now, like nothing's gonna happen. You're not gonna go asystole now.
Oh, calcium. He needs some milk. You know. He needs some milk. So exactly. You get the calcium. Now
they're not wrong.
they're not wrong. Okay. Yeah. And remember, especially for this calcium one. Before, your resting was at minus 90, your threshold was at negative 60. You have that healthy balance because of the potassium. Now your resting is closer to threshold and you're throwing off all of your action potential, right. Okay?
So then this is why that concept is significant for calcium gluconate or chloride. And just quickly mentioning, calcium chloride is very, very potent. Be careful if you're pushing it even through peripheral IVs because it can cause extravagation very easily and it's very bad, like norepi. Gluconate is another option, so you can do one of those. But we're talking about, and I guess what I want to like really associate for you, and there's a lot more to it than just this concept, but this drives it home. Calcium kind of dictates the threshold potential, okay? So calcium isn't like, it doesn't necessarily, there's like some with the sodium channels and all this kind of stuff, but however, why we are giving the calcium is because it raises threshold potential.
Right. Okay. So before we had the high potassium. Now we're close by. We're not at negative 90 and negative 60. Now we're at negative 65 and negative 60. So we've lost that safe distance, that safe healthy distance.
So now any little like, action potential or little thing will cause something, PVC or a, VFib or, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to be cardioprotective and we're going to say, okay, here's resting at that, negative 60 or wherever we're at. So high, right? And we're going to give calcium and we're going to take that threshold a little bit higher, make it harder for resting to get up to that threshold, therefore being cardioprotective.
It reestablishes that line there. Yes, yeah, so all of a sudden now you have that area again. You have a nice healthy distance between your resting membrane potential and your threshold potential. So calcium changes that threshold potential and reestablishes that distance, that healthy distance.
Dude, and I don't know about you guys, but we've all lost our minds.
I lost my marbles, man.
So neat.
That's cool.
It was so cool. Yeah, and it's
I think one of us, you might have called me or I called you. We like literally called, like, did you read about this? I know, like the calcium and the shift in the threshold. It was amazing.
So cool.
Amazing.
So we really hope that you guys find that as exciting as we did. So that is that concept. Huge. First line, give some calcium.
Right. And it doesn't, it's not necessarily short acting, but I would think about it like a Band-Aid, because right. the Very potassium awesome. Number is still off. You know, you're reestablishing that healthy distance, but the number, all your numbers are still off.
Right. So you've done nothing to actually correct that potassium level. Right,
exactly.
Just the Band-Aid to be cardioprotective.
Cardioprotective.
So going into the next one that we see all the time, ICU nurses love it, bicarb.
Bicarb, give them bicarb.
And we always refer to bicarb as a Band-Aid anyways. It often is, okay? So bicarb is kind of going back to what we were talking about with those acidotic patients, okay? And so why bicarb works for hyperkalemia is that it displaces that extracellular potassium back into the cell.
Right.
Okay, so how it works is that bicarbonate obviously is a very basic substance, I guess, you know, that we're putting in there, okay? So kind of the inverse of what happens when you're in acidosis, all of this, you know, bicarbonate comes in there and all your cells are like, whoa, 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 this is way too basic. Yep. This is like way too pumpkin spice latte out there for me. Okay? Guys, send some hydrogen ions out there to try to correct this.
Hydrogen ions and a surgical scarf. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Basic, man.
Just yeah, and
basic.
I love your melon hat and you're set. Okay. Yeah. So that's what's happening. So very basic.
Basic. I know.
Yeah, basically. So hydrogen ions are flooding out to try to, you know, create that homeostasis and everything. And in turn, another positive ion has to take its spot in the cell. Potassium goes in there. Extracellular potassium comes down. Again, this is a Band-Aid, very temporary fix.
Cool.
Okay.
Yep.
And really quick, I just want to mention one quick story of going back to those signs of, you know, hyperkalemia on the EKG monitor. I've seen this happen before. You'll see the peak T waves, yeah. Very high. They're almost higher than the QRS. They're like, hey, let's give an amp a bicarb. See if we, you know, just for temporarily until we get them started on the CRT or whatever. We give that, you can see the EKG change.
That's so cool.
So neat. It doesn't last, you know, forever and stuff, but it really does work. So yeah. It's really neat.
Very
so.
Cool. Very cool. But then again, the potassium is still in there. A couple other ones that you can temporarily kind of give you more time to actually treat the patient. Sometimes we'll give insulin. Insulin does some work on that sodium potassium pump we talked about before, helps shift the potassium around. You can also do albuterol.
Right. So yeah, both of those. So albuterol, when we talk about that, that is a, we know it's a beta 2 agonist. We give it for people, you know, when they're like have that stridor, all that kind of stuff. So what's interesting is the literature for actual like treatment for hyperkalemia with albuterol is IV albuterol. Didn't even know that was a thing. Very interesting. However, you can also give like high dose inhaled albuterol, stimulate those beta 2 agonists. And you remember those beta cells in like the pancreas are what produce insulin. And we know that insulin and beta 2 agonists stimulating sodium potassium pump.
Amazing.
Getting
just
more
so cool.
Just putting the potassium inside the cell.
Oh, that's so cool.
So neat. Yeah.
I remember being a new nurse and having one of these hyperkalemic patients. And they went in there and they were giving him albuterol. And in my head, all I thought is, he needs a breathing treatment. You know? It's like,
yeah.
It's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, the albuterol is beta 2 agonist.
Right.
Helps that potassium pump.
Sweet. And so those are the Band-Aid treatments. Those are the very, very common
ones. You usually do those first.
Right.
And occasionally you'll jump to one of the more serious treatments, depending on their number, but usually we'll do those
right.
first. And that's,
we'll even start
and that's why.
Those. Yeah. So like to give us that those, time to yep. get those more definitive treatments. So.
Definitive treatment number one.
Yeah, number one is going to be dialysis.
Emergent dialysis.
Emergent yep. dialysis for hyperkalemia. We've seen it happen all the time. You know, the nephrologist comes in, they'll drop an HD cath, get them up there right now, have them dialyzed. They're all good,
yep.
right? Maybe
yep.
it was their ACE inhibitor. Maybe they had some crush injury, whatever.
Sure.
We're good.
Sure.
We actually got the potassium out.
So now you've reestablished. You have the healthy numbers in the
right.
cell, out of the cell.
Yeah.
You're good.
This isn't displacing the potassium like all these other ones. This is actually getting it out of the body.
Potassium is removed. Correct. Okay. Second one. Diuresis, we can diurese them.
Yep.
Lasix is the one we always see. And mm-hmm. usually you'll see this one negatively. We're given Lasix for something else, and then, oh, now they're KA3-2, you know?
Oh, hypokalemia. So, you know,
yeah, but exactly. But it is something that will lower your potassium.
Right.
So keeping that in your mind.
Yeah, and then the last one, everybody's favorite, K-exhalate.
K-exhalate.
All right, and yeah. so that one we know. You poop out your potassium.
Basically.
That's really about it. But that's a definitive way. It's not going back in.
Yeah, it does. It removes the potassium. And I actually heard this in an ER nursing class. And the instructor said, So here's what KXLate does. Here's how it works. And when do we give KXLate? In the elevator on the way up to the ICU.
And everybody laughed. Everybody slapped their shoulder. Oh, man, this guy's a genius.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's really when they give it. That's when they give it. They give it the elevator on the way up to us. So, yeah. It does work. It sucks all that potassium out. So. Yep.
All right. Well, that really does sum up hyperkalemia causes, why it's bad, treatment, Band-Aids, definitive treatment.
Very, very okay. Cool. And again, a big thank you to Dr. Brett Clay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the man.
Right. He is the man. He really taught us, you know, all this stuff and really just drove it home. And we were just like beside ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And like every nurse needs to know this so that we can provide better, safer, and like more effective care for our patients.
Oh, man. It's just such good stuff. Yeah. So, and hit us up on the email if there's anything you want us to dive farther into with any of these things. And we'll definitely do our best to kind of explain it, like talk about it and just all learn together basically. Yeah, so
that's it. That's the point of this podcast here. So, well, we really appreciate your guys' time. Join us again next week for episode 10. We'll be coming at you and keep pushing that bicarb. Two Male Nurses expressly disclaims any liability and association with the use of this podcast.